Praise the Lord, brothers.
Amen.
I will not say Happy New Year. I would say praise the Lord for 2021.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
Last year, I think we passed out to you a little document we put together. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you still have it, and if you do, please find it in your archive, inbox, whatever, and take some time to reread it. It is called The Significance of a New Spiritual Year. Something like that. The Significance of a New Spiritual Year. It is an outline of 3 pages plus a bunch of ministry excerpts that are pulled out from Brother Lee's speaking back in the 50s in Taiwan. And please go back. I pull it back out for myself, and I read it again, and actually I gave a word to the church in Irvine this last New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve, the church has this tradition to come together to pray. But because we're on Zoom, usually we pray through New Year's Eve, typically, but because of Zoom, we didn't. We just pray in the evening, like a prayer meeting. But after the meeting, I took about 30 minutes just to highlight that document. And if you want to get that, my speaking, you can access it by going to thechurchinirvine.org or something. Or you can contact Mark New or somebody in Irvine to access that. It's in English. And Brother Lee spoke a lot of many things, three-page outlines. But the main point that he made was that there's new day, new month, or new week, new month, and a new year. And all of this in the Bible, and all of this refer to a new beginning, a new season, a new start. So while things may get old, we may get defeated, we may get discouraged in the old season, whether it's week or day or year, there's always a chance for a new start. And specifically, of course, he talked about the new year, contrasting our kind of Christian attitude with the people in the world, you know, celebrating New Year. He was really hitting that pretty hard. We don't celebrate the New Year the way the worldly people do. But it does not mean we don't care for the New Year. He said that the New Year should not, the new calendar year, right, which is where we are right now, the new calendar year to the world should not be just another new calendar year to us. The new calendar year should be a new spiritual year to us. But that does not depend on God. That depends on us. It depends on us, how you would treat this calendar year, whether it will just be just mundane, just another physical year, or it becomes really a new spiritual year for the Christian. So it is very, very touching, very, very inspiring. And his point is that just like a merchant or a business person, at the end of every month, certainly every year, he has to settle accounts, right? He has to close his books for the year, and he has to settle the accounts and all of this stuff. In other words, he has to take stock on the previous year. He has to end the year. Listen, Billy said this. You have to end the year in a proper way. before you can start a new year in a proper way. I like that. It's not just about, hey, let's start a new year. No. How are you ending the old year determines how you start, begin another one. So this has a lot of implication on our personal and even collective practice and exercise. And so I want to say something about that to you, not going through that whole outline like that, which I hope you can get. And brothers, if you have it, maybe you can redistribute it to the brothers in this room. And please, please, brothers, spend some time to reread it and reread even the ministry of Brother Lee. And in terms of closing the books and settling accounts and all of this, mainly he was talking about the need for clearance, dealing with the Lord, confession, repentance for the past year. Now, of course, there's always should be an element of thanksgiving as well, right? I don't mean so-called count your blessing one by one, but surely in the last year, we would all have had been graced by the Lord, blessed by the Lord spiritually, even materially. So there is certainly that element of giving thanks to the Lord at the end of the year. But Brother Lee paid much attention to the dealing at the end of the year to clear things up. So, brothers, I would just like to say that we should all do that. You don't want to carry offenses from last year into the new year, do you? Do we? We don't want to carry unconfessed sins or transgressions into the new year. We shouldn't. We shouldn't, if we have weaknesses and shortages and failures and wrongdoing, we should clear it up at the end of the year with God and with man. That clearance is a proper ending of the old year. Then we need to start a new year. Really speaking, we need two personal times, and maybe even two corporate times. One at the end of 1 year, the other in the beginning of a new year. So, along with this matter of starting a new spiritual year, and brothers, really, don't you want to start a new spiritual year? That 2021 is in fact a new year spiritually. We can look back at the end of this year and say, and we can see that we have passed through not only a calendar year and got 1 year older, but we actually have things that have happened in this new spiritual year. Some family planned in this new year, we will have another kid, right? That's a plan. That's something to look forward to, a new spiritual year. In this new year, we're going to do something that we've never done before to improve our lives or to better our condition. Whatever it may be, spiritually, we should be doing the same thing. Whether you call it planning or whether you call it this, it's firstly taking stock of where you are. And by reviewing the last year, it helps you to know where you are exactly, what point you are. And based on where you are, you look to the Lord, you contact the Lord, and you, quote, plan this new year. You plan this new year personally, right? To have certain goals, to have certain decisions before the Lord, and according even to the Lord's charge or commission to you when you spend time with Him. So I spoke another word for about how long? 40 minutes to the that is posted on Living to Him. If you go to Living to Him website, you will find my speaking posted there that I did a week ago or so. And that is a good word concerning not just the matter of the new year, but how to spend a time with the Lord, to close a year and to open. And I think I gave them 6 R's, the alphabet R words, something like that. It's easy. I think anyone can go there, livingtohim.org.com, I don't even know, and listen to it. I think it's worth a listen. I talk about recalling the Lord's love. Start there. The Lord's love towards you. Something like that. Then I talk about reflecting on the Lord's work of grace in you. The Lord's work of grace in you, right? These are all spiritual things. And then I talk about the need to review or rehearse the vision that we have received from the Lord, that over a year, over time, it can grow dim. It can become a bit fuzzy. So take this time to review the vision that the Lord has given to us, you know, concerning Christ, the church, His economy, the recovery, and so on. I talk about repenting, which is what I just talked about failures. And I gave a testimony about my repentance to the Lord in this regard, you know, beside personal transgressions and things like that, is my failure to discharge the burden that the Lord gave me at the beginning of last year. I need to repent a lot. I find myself repenting a lot to the Lord that I did not carry out what He told me to do adequately, that I delayed His work as a result. I feel very regretful about that. I need to repent to my Master for that. And I don't know what else. There were just a number of points there. You can go and listen. It should be helpful. But the main thing, brothers, is I charge the saints. Each one of us have to personally be with God. There is no way for us to have any kind of renewal or to have a new season or year without touching God. Why? Because God, only God is newness, and only God is resurrection. And if we don't touch His newness, if we don't touch His resurrection life, you can turn over a new leaf, you can make a new year resolution. It does not work. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about spending some time, and this is still the third day or of the new year. There's still time. We're still within the first week. Brothers, take time, you know, to get away from the hustle bustle. Tell your wife where you are. Please, dear, can you babysit? I need to go and be with the Lord. Just like the Lord went to the desert, went to the mountain, went to the wilderness to be alone with the Father. Often, at least at the beginning of the year, God deserves to have our undivided attention for a few hours. Brothers, what is there to lose? This should become a holy habit. This should become a blessed what tradition in your life and mine. Make it happen. Make it happen tomorrow, carve out some time, the day after. I don't know. But don't wait till February. It's then it's no longer the new year. Personally. And the wives have to do that. You say, dear, I'm going to babysit for you. You go and be with the Lord in this way. Each one of us have to do this in secret, personally, privately. It has to be, brothers. If we don't have this kind of practice, we are just like the worldly people. Another year pass, another year pass, another year pass. God, in the natural universe, affords us this seasonal change and new beginnings for a reason. And we should take advantage of this time to have a new beginning with the Lord. And in this time, we will not only deal with the Lord in so many spiritual life matters, but even deal with the Lord concerning His commission to us. I like to ask, brothers, what did the Lord commission you for this year? I like to know. Don't say, well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to pray and find out. No, no. You can receive it. I practiced this for a long, long time. Sorry to say, I'm here to confess my weakness here. This year, these 3 days, I have not done it yet myself. I have not done it myself yet. I will, but I have not done it yet. Well, I use my excuse. I'm busy with many, many critical things happening here and there. But, brothers, carve out the time. Nothing is more important than this right now, brothers. Nothing, really, for the next year. Nothing is more important. If you don't spend this time, your year will be just kind of like same old. Trust me, same old. And as I touch the Lord will always, never ceased in every year to shine, to touch on something in my failure, and also to give me a new charge for the new year in a very specific way. And looking back often, I see His hand, the Lord's hand, with me in fulfilling those things. Of course, I have to cooperate with the Lord, but still, to see how the Lord took those things very, very seriously, my dealings with Him, even though I may forget, but the Lord doesn't forget. So, brothers, I like to charge all of you, there's 220 brothers or however many, please do this, brothers, please do this. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. That's the promise. Draw near to the Lord personally. Don't, please do this, brothers. Just go to the park, go to the beach, go to somewhere, and your backyard. I don't know. You have to do this and have a very, very personal, serious time with the Lord about all these things. It's a time of evaluation. It's a time of reaffirmation, even of your consecration. And then you will end up and say, ask the Lord, Lord, how do you want me to live, and what do you want me to do this new year? Lord, tell me. I'm here. Speak, Lord. The Lord will speak something in a very personal way. You may not even tell your wife about what He spoke to you, but you know. You know. Now, I also, on the side, encourage the brothers and sisters. You will hear that in my video post in Living to Him. How about build up something soon in the beginning of the year to be with your family? It could be you and your wife, and if you have no children or you're an empty nester, or you are there with your kids and children to have a time with the Lord. At least in the beginning of the year, you have a family home gathering. You may have babies, you may have small ones. It does not matter. This is not a time to give a sermon. This is not a time to read a life study. This is a time for your family as a unit to affirm that this household is for serves Jehovah, that Christ is the head of this family, that this family is for Christ and the church. You say that. You declare that. And you speak to your children about it. Really, I really mean that. Talk about a godly family. Shouldn't a godly family start the new year with God somehow? This will impress the little children. And we did this last week, my family, with Zoom, because part of our family is on the East Coast. We're together with Zoom. We sang some, and then we have some fellowship in this way. Of course, I, being the sort of the patriarch, quote, I did more, a little bit more. But I'm burdened. We have little kids. They don't know what I'm saying. But that's not the point. That's not the point. The point is we honor the Lord. And we make it clear. We worship a true God. We love the Lord Jesus. We believe and love the Lord Jesus. And our whole family is for Him. Yeah. Yeah. Brothers, it's time we do this. And I hope that we can do it more than just in the beginning of the new year. We can do this every so often, you know. And with some families, maybe every week, some younger families, the Lord leads you. It doesn't have to be long, brothers. This honors the Lord. You're even doing this with the enemy in view. You tell the enemy that this. So I said something along this line as well. Now, of course, I now come to this point, and that is the church. The church should do this as well, as a church. Because we are God's household, God's family, the church. It would not be bad. Brothers, how about soon, this month, you call a meeting of the church? It's just a meeting of declaration and consecration. Reavowing with the brothers in the lead. Reavowing, declaring this local church, all of us here. Lord, we are here newly consecrating our church to you. How about that? You just need an hour. It's not even a time of prayer as such. You understand me. Not a time of giving a speech. It's a time of consecration. The Old Testament Israel did that at certain occasions, you know, in a convocation or in some special time. They start with offering, making a burnt offering on the altar, like after they built the temple. That's what Solomon did. And recall Abraham, our father. Everywhere he went, he pitched the tent and he built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. Every new station in his life, he did that. Isn't that? Don't say this is religious, this is Old Testament. Don't say that, brothers. Don't say that. So you know, we used to years ago in LA have a meeting. The whole meeting is nothing but consecration. I remember that. And sometimes in the New Year's Eve, we did that. Spontaneously, not as a kind of a formality. There's just this spirit among us that at a new time and at the eve of a new season, we just like to start everything with offering ourselves to the Lord. Why not? This will make your church healthy. This will bring the saints into this kind of atmosphere and spirit and understanding. I challenge you to do this easy. Just have a meeting like this. Maybe in your prayer meeting next week or, well, I don't know, maybe after Lord's Day morning. Maybe that, if that's not good, just somehow. It's not too much, brothers. Not too much. One living sacrifice, right? Romans 12. We're beseeched to offer ourselves, our bodies, you know, together. Lord, we give you our bodies. We give you our time. We give you our finances. We give you our possessions. Lord, we give, you know, we... One couple will say, Lord, we give you our marriage. Another family will say, Lord, we give you our family. We give you our home. Isn't that beautiful? Don't you think God would be just happy to receive that kind of offering in his son and readily accept that and will bless the church as a result? Brothers, why won't we do that? You know, make a new, this is a profitable tradition. I hope so. We would fill the church with fragrance. You know, we all would anew break our alabaster box. And anoint the Lord. The house, the church will be filled with a kind of fragrance. So I would like to encourage you, brothers, personally, as family units, and also as the church. Maybe even in when the pandemic is over, even as churches in a cluster, you come together to do that. You read something on consecration. I don't even know whether we have one morning revival just on consecration. I don't. Holy Word, you know. Do we have one? I don't remember. We have one on, you know, finances. We have one on intercession. I don't remember whether we have one on consecration. LSM, Holy Word. But in beseeching.org, last week we have a whole week on the new year. Remember that if you are on that website. Last week, the prayer items is about this new year, including what I just shared. This week is on prayer. This is the first week we want to start the new year on the matter of prayer. If I'm correct, next week we will come back to consecration. Next week. So maybe that's a good week for us to practice. Again, help the saints day by day, that whole week, make it a seven-day feast of consecration to the Lord. We're still in the second week of the new year. It's not bad. It's really not bad. Now, I was going to share something tonight, but with all this speaking, I almost lost my burden for this other thing. But I'd like to give you maybe a testimony or two. Okay. So, the church in Toronto, I was told. So, like you, we appointed new elders, younger elders. When was that? About a few years ago. The older ones are all sickly or the... by the way, do pray for the main elder there for years. His name is David Wang in Toronto. He had intestinal cancer and I think still hospitalized. Do remember him. But anyway, you have this group of younger brothers now at the helm, you know, bearing the burden. So I was told that in New Year's Eve, the church in Toronto, they have this kind of New Year's Eve prayer. They, I think, pray for four things for the church, I think. Four things for the church, yeah, I think so. Number one, their burden that this year, the whole church will preach the gospel. So that's number one. They pray for that. Number two, that in this new year, they will pursue the truth. Number two, the truth. Number three, in this new year, their burden to build up the family, the godly family, the family unit. And number four, that this new year will be a year of prayer. So they are going to, you may say those are the four things that they have set for the entire church as goals, you know, to build up. When I heard that, I was very happy. And these came from those younger brothers. It came from the younger brothers themselves. I was very happy. That church, you know, was devastated in the rebellion about 15 years ago, church in Toronto. Toronto is the biggest city in Canada. And now today, they have, oh goodness, 250 to 300 saints. And a new meeting hall, and the Lord really has blessed them, and now with a group of new elders and also a new group of young brothers that serve, you know, so-called responsible brothers, or you call them deacons, whatever you want to call it, there. So that's I want to give you testimony. And now that leads me to actually a burden I have. Maybe I should still share this because it's related. And that is, brothers, I've been talking to you again and again for several years now. You've got, brothers, you've got to, within this month, the best, come together, the leading brothers, to pray and to plan. And you have to do that. Again, if you don't do that, your church has no direction, I guarantee you. If you cannot tell me what your plan is, already I know I can speculate this new year will be maintenance, just maintaining your church, which is the old way, brothers. That's the natural way. And that does not build up the church. That maintains it, thankfully, but that does not, because you have no goals. And you don't know where you're going. And you have no schedule. You have no way to execute. And you have no way to measure progress. You see, we have been doing this for way too long, brothers. We cannot repeat that anymore. Every church, large and small, you have to come together and pray and plan and then practice. Practice what you plan. Now, again, a little testimony. I'm now joining myself to the church in Long Beach down here to help them in this way to rebuild the church. And that is the first thing. So they have decided that they will, the leading brothers, and nine brothers. Not all are elders, but they're just this core group of brothers. A church of 150, in the meetings less than that. Next week will be their week of planning. They will meet for five or six sessions on the evenings because some brothers work. Monday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Saturday, a couple of sessions. They have a second ring of brothers, which will kind of double that number. There may be 20, 21 brothers, but this first core is nine. And so I told them I'm going to join them as much as I can to help them to do this. It's the first time. I mean, this is a church that is 40 plus years old. Now they want to have a new beginning, build up a new church in Long Beach. And I've been guiding them as much as I can. And so next week will be prayer planning week, of course, by Zoom. In ordinary situations, they will be meeting together or go off, you know. But we now do it in the hall because we stretch it out throughout the whole week here in Irvine. And so the core group would fellowship first for several sessions. Then we will bring that direction to the next group of brothers. Then we will eventually bring this to the saints as a direction. I charge them to make quarterly plans and then semi-annual plans and then the annual plan. So next week they're going to get into it. And so, brothers, we just have to do it. Don't say we never done this before. Just do it, and you will learn. You have to be very, very serious. You know, last month I gave you some speaking on the matter of I think I share with you about bearing fruit or about twos and threes. I don't remember what I share with you. But anyway, I share a few P's with you. Number one it has to, you have to do a personal work. Remember that? Then you have to do a patient work, right? Rather a particular work. Then you have to do a patient work. Then you need to do a persistent or persevering work, something like that. Well, brothers, in principle, anything we do, that's the only way to accomplish things. You have to do it. And one of the killer of our church life, as far as we who bear responsibility, is it is too general. Everything is general, just general. General things are easy. They don't even need to take time. It's just general. But the general way, you do not build up anything. Maintenance is general. But to build up something is what is specific. We need to, and planning forces you to be particular, to be specific. This year, what does your church want to accomplish? Tell me. One thing, two things, three things, whatever. You cannot do everything. Start somewhere, a step at a time, you see. And work on something particularly until you see results. Until you see some breakthrough. Then you move on to something else. But we don't think this way. We just meet, more meetings, in a general way. So that's why I stress each one of us need to receive a particular commission charge from the Lord for this year. What does the Lord want you to do in your church? And as a group of brothers, we need to receive a special, specific charge from the Lord this year. What does the Lord want us to do in our church? Then you plan. You plan how to carry that out. Let's say it's gospel preaching. Well, how are you going to carry out? How are you going to help the saints? How are you going to bring the saints? How you yourself have to start? You know. Then we're talking about real, rubber meet the road, practical implementation, and not just talk. Brothers, the talking days is over. That's the natural way. Okay. So in the planning, of course, we need to first pray much, of course. If the elders spend several sessions together, usually the whole first session is prayer in Irvine. Yeah, it's just prayer. Just prayer. Just prayer. And then the second session, we begin into fellowship. Review the last year. What things are not done yet? What is the present burden? Brothers have different feelings, so we fellowship. And eventually we arrive at something. Right now I'm helping I just had a meeting with the church in Cincinnati. The church in Cincinnati. They have 44 saints now. One of the GTC cities. And I think by next year, by the end of next year, they will have at least 50 from migration, And so now those brothers, I charged all the GTCA cities to do this. And so they arranged a meeting with me. They didn't have a whiteboard, but they have these white sheets of paper in somebody's living room, just tape up all over the place. and they showed me each one of them, what their burdens are for this year for Cincinnati. They have to see how many saints they have to do inventory first. How many sisters, how many brothers, how many family, how many children, how many young people. They have all of that. That's what I just did with Long Beach. You have a handle of what is the baseline that you're working from, you know. What are the assets that you have to work with? Then you know how to plan in a realistic way. And so gospel is also one of their main burdens. So this one, they are burdened for the small groups. Of course, I try to help them. I said, brothers, you have to start with yourself, the leading brothers, to build up the core. You need to take 3 to 6 months to build up the core first. And then this core will then practice the things. And then you will have more brothers to be able to carry these things out with spreading from center to circumference. I said, for example, you want to build up twos and threes for the gospel. They have also community and campus in Cincinnati. I said, you brothers have to practice these things first yourself. Personally, all these things I mentioned, then you can have not just now 3 of you brothers, but then the next group will be 7 brothers. They want to add 4 brothers to the core with another 2 younger ones that they will bring in to help. It's not a big church, but they will still have about 7 to 9 brothers that will really, really labor to make things happen. I spare you the details, but brothers, I want to just give you these examples. I'm learning too. But this is my burden now, to really a church at a time to build up the Lord's testimony. A church at a time in this very practical way. I told you there should be every church should be a model church. Doesn't have to be big, but there's a model there of something. Say you want to build up the prayer. Well, that is a noble goal. How are you going to build that up in the next 6 months in your church? You need a plan. You need to execute that plan, right? Or your church this year that you want to build up the children's work. Wonderful. How do you build it up? You can just talk about it, right? Or young people or whatever the case may be. Actually, all these years in Bay Area and in Northern California, you know, one thing I've not talked about yet that is crucial is the small groups. I haven't gotten into the small groups with you yet. It's a key part of the God-ordained way church life. The small group as a gospel station, the small group as a shepherd's tent, you see. The small group as a gateway into the church life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, brothers, brothers, be specific for reality. Yeah, be specific for reality. Brother Lee told us, your problem is you're too general. That's your problem. You know, be specific. Do one thing well. Do two things well. But don't just generally go on. You build up this, then you build up this, then you build up that. Then you may come back to this. That's okay. But you're specific in making progress in the saints. You want to build up the pursuit of the truth. Well, be specific about that. You want to build up. You have to be specific about it. This time isn't Brother Ed Marks so burdened for the sisters, right, in his message, remember that? Ed Marks, right? But how do you build up the sisters? You see. So I end with this. Let me end with this. I'm just rambling. I was just thinking today in Luke 14, you have the Lord in talking about how to follow him, to give up all, to abandon all, take up the cross and follow him. He used two parables. Number one is he said, which of you, when you build a house, you don't sit down and calculate the cost, whether you have enough, this person has enough to finish it. Perhaps once he has laid a foundation and he's not able to finish, and all those looking on will begin to mock him. That means, of course, here's talking about following the Lord, but let me just borrow this. Isn't this what happened? You know, something half done, and people mock you. You know, you never finish anything. You started a lot of things, you never finish anything. You did not calculate. You did not, you know, count. You did not plan, basically. You didn't plan financially and otherwise. So your building is never finished. Just sitting there, half done. Then he talked about a king engaging another king in war. Would he not sit down and deliberate, right? Whether the number of troops he has is able to face the enemy, you know, and so on. So it's again, you know, the whole military thing is big mainly on planning. The military, the big thing is on planning. When you are adequately planned, then you can fight the war. And so the Lord used these two things. Well, I think this is very apropos because one is the picture of building a house. We're here to build up the house of God. The other is on fighting a war. Aren't we still fighting a war against the enemy? I think it's very appropriate. But let's calculate. Let's deliberate beforehand. That means we need to take inventory. We need to take stock. We need to plan. We need to schedule. We need to all these things so that we can what we can finish this project or win the war. I hope the younger brothers would, who are in the lead, would have this kind of a spirit. Now, of course, we don't all do any of these things without the Lord, and that means we need to pray. So I add one more P to personal, to particular, to patient, to persevering, and that is to be prayerful. Of course. Of course. That's what I have for for tonight. Amen. I hope this is a little bit here, a little bit there. I hope this is helpful.
Amen. Yes, more than helpful. Especially at the beginning of the year here. I hope all those brothers take this word seriously. And Brother Manoah said, use the next few days. Don't even let it go past the first week to begin your personal.
Yeah.
And then take the time for this corporate.
The maintenance way is the natural way. You don't need to learn anything. You just, by default, you just do maintenance. And that's natural. But to do this kind of thing, to build, you know what I mean, to build up something as a kind of project or whatever you call it, it's not the natural way. It is the learned way, you know. I hope that would be really a change in this new decade. We're here having a new decade, not just a new year, but a new decade.
Amen.
There's still a lot of burden, of course, for the gospel, brothers. These times, I tell you, go check. I was just told. That today, you go to Google, people go to Google and, you know, Google search. The search for how to pray have gone through the roof. Just that search. How do I pray? Gone through the roof. That's a sign, brothers, that people today are in need for help. They're in need for help. They're in need for of the Lord, of the gospel. That's what is going on. And the pandemic is still here. I think at least 6 more months, at least 6 to 12 months before normality. And so what should we do? I mean, we've got 9 months already behind us of Zoom church life. One thing I challenge you need to think about is this new year. Are you going to just continue that Zoom church life maintenance mode? Are you going to talk about it and fellowship how you can enhance that church life? See, if you don't give that some thought, you just do the default thing. We'll just keep meeting like this. You know, you need to be enterprising, brothers. You need to be thinking. Deliberating, calculating how to improve the church life in the pandemic, you know, continually. How do we preach the gospel? How do we shepherd? Always, always trying to better things. Anyway, sorry, Terry.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
We need you to come and spend more time. I think the brothers may have a lot of questions and more practical help. Something we fellowshiped among some of the brothers the other day was the churches can help one another. You know, if a church is not quite sure, ask what some of the other churches in your sub-region are doing as far as their planning. You know, that might give you some, you know, just like you give us the help of what Toronto is doing and examples of Long Beach, at least.
Even a mom and pop little shop need to plan. And I'm not talking about big corporations here. I'm talking about mom and pop shop. If you want to survive, especially in these challenging days, you better plan. You know, the government is shutting everything down. You know, people are finding a way now. They don't even offer in-place dining. Everything is DoorDash and Grubhub, and they just cutting the cost, just have kitchen staff. And see, brothers, we don't think we just stole this war. We've got it all. We have the truth behind me. Look at this. Oh, wonderful church life. But the business is not surviving. Not just surviving, but not growing. Brothers, really. You can do it, brothers. You can do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Menor.
Thank you, Brother Menor.
Praise the Lord, brother.
Amen.
230 brothers.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
In all throughout Northern California, 230 brothers. This is the Lord's assets.
Amen.
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 Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, bye-bye, brothers.
Amen.
Okay. Bye.
Amen.
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 Thank you, brothers.
Amen.
Thank you,
amen.
Bye.
Amen. Amen. Brothers, we can be dismissed to our meetings to pray and plan.
Amen.
Begin tonight.
Amen.
Bring all this fellowship to the Lord.
Amen.
Unless any of the other brothers have anything to say before we close. Amen. Okay, we can be dismissed.
Bye.